Joanne Emerson dropped a bomb on Southeast Missouri this week with her announcement that she will step down from Congress to take the presidency of an electric co-op trade association. Here on our panel to talk about Emerson's resignation and its fallout are political scientists Jeremy Walling and Rick Althaus from Southeast Missouri State University, and Erin Reagan. She covers politics for the Southeast Missourian newspaper. Thank you so much.
Always glad to be
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Well, first, Rick, let's talk a little bit about the process. What's next? How is it chosen? Who is going to run for Congress in this upcoming special election to replace Joanne Emerson?
The political parties will choose the candidates who will run in the special election. Now, there's some steps that take place before that. The governor has to call for the special election and set a date for that. But then the political parties at the congressional district level will meet and select a nominee. And then the party nominees will campaign against each other in this upcoming election.
Now, and who exactly are these committee members, and how are these voters? I mean, how are they selected? What membership do they need to have in order to have a say in this?
This is defined by a combination of Missouri statute and political party rules, but essentially it's local party officials at the county and state legislative district level. So, for example, there are approximately 30 counties in the district. In each of those counties, there is a county political party committee, and the chair and the vice chair of that committee are on the congressional district committee. Then there are some bonus members. It gets pretty complicated, but there could be 70 or more people officially on these committees, and they'll be making the decision.
So these committees are basically from the folks on the county committees, as well as there's also a district committee for each house district in Missouri
and
as well.
Senate district. So it yes.
So basically, it sounds like this will be the larger the county, the more votes that they will have on the committees.
Yes, that's entirely possible. Part of that is defined by whether there's a state legislative district entirely within the boundaries of that county, but the answer is yes, some of the larger counties will have more votes.
And is this the same process for both the Democratic and the Republican parties?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, let's just talk—
And Libertarian, too.
And Libertarian Party as well. Let's talk a little bit about, how this really kind of changes the power of a party in this instance, that there won't be a primary in this case, Jeremy.
No, when we look at parties and how, parties over time have become weakened in the United States, one of the major things that has weakened parties is the direct primary. And so now, what we're used to is these candidates, they make a direct appeal to us. Well, these candidates are going to have to make an appeal to this party committee. What this is going to allow is it's going to allow the party to have more control over their nominee. And this is what parties used to be able to do prior to the direct primary. What it's also going to do is we're used to occasionally seeing some crackpot crawl out of the woodwork and appear on the primary stage. That's really not going to be possible this time. The party wants to hand select somebody who is going to represent the party and going to be a good member of Congress for this district.
What about the election date? What do we know about how soon can a special election be held? Do you guys have any information on that?
Technically, a special election could be held at any time. The advantage of an April or an August date would be that it could be piggybacked on some previously established elections. As a matter of fact, even in August, we probably wouldn't normally have an election. The April municipal elections would be great, but it wouldn't leave much time for a campaign. We can maybe talk in a minute about how important a campaign is going to be. There's question about the definition of the statutes, about when the vacancy technically occurs. Does it occur when Representative Emerson actually leaves office, or does it occur when her letter arrives at the Secretary of State's office or Governor's office or whomever? So there may be a little leeway there, but I was speaking with an area county clerk last night, and she was saying she too thinks it's unlikely that it would be as early as April.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the candidates that have expressed interest in this, and we'll start on the Republican side, because there are there's no shortage of candidates who've expressed interest, and I guess really a lot of it just kind of depends on the big gorilla in the room, which is Peter Kinder, and if Peter Kinder ever decides to officially throw his hat into the ring here. What do you guys make of Peter Kinder? Would he be a strong candidate for this position?
Well, what what makes a strong candidate? A strong candidate is somebody who has name recognition and who can raise money. And what Peter Kinder has is name recognition and demonstrated ability to raise money. What he also has is a little bit of baggage. And what we've seen over the last few years is every now and then a story emerges where Peter Kinder has to explain himself. Now, does he want to leave his lieutenant governor position to come campaign on this and have to answer questions in a campaign about some of that stuff again? It certainly didn't seem to damage him much in the general election for the lieutenant governor race. But I think, I mean, if we're looking at what makes a strong candidate, I think Peter Kinder is a strong candidate.
Jacob, I would say that the name recognition and the ability to raise money is probably not as important in this election as it will be in the following election.
Future.
Yes, because what the parties want to do is they want to nominate somebody who has a chance of winning now and who also will run and have a chance of winning 2 years from now. And that, I think, is where the name recognition and money raising is more important. This one, the name, all the name has to be known by are the members of the committee making the nomination, I think.
Until we vote.
Yeah, but the general election campaign will be a brief one. We are realistic enough to know that in this congressional district.
Yeah, it's fait accompli. We know the Republican's going to win.
I wasn't going to go quite that far, but I was going to say the presumption is the Republican would have the advantage. And so
sure.
I think on the Democrat side, the Democratic nominee, I think it's more important to that person to have name recognition and money for this election.
Is there a best case scenario for the Democrats in this case where the Democrats could end up having at least a very strong shot at picking up this district?
I personally thought the best shot was the possibility of Russ Carnahan running in this district. He grew up in this district. He was from Rolla. He ran against Bill Emerson in 1990 and received 43% of the vote, which is almost the best in recent years. He is available, having been redistricted out of his district in South St. Louis. But I saw in the Post-Dispatch that he has indicated he's not interested. So I honestly I can come up with a list of some Democratic possibles, but if we look at the possibles would really be Democratic office holders or people who are known Democrats by the committee. Those would most likely be people who've already run and lost, and so that's not necessarily the best formula for success.
I think this is a long-term strategy for Democrats. If Democrats want to pick this up, it's not going to be this time. What we talked about before is the idea of somebody who comes out of the woodwork and manages to win a primary. That person, I mean, I'm thinking about something like the Tea Party. If this was a situation where the primary was available, then a Tea Party, a extreme sort of right-wing Tea Party candidate could emerge, could win over the voters and then become installed in the seat. And then that's a vulnerable position for a moderate, conservative-type Democrat to come along later and say, this guy's, out of step with the district. I think in this particular instance, I think a Democrat has an extraordinarily uphill climb.
Let's talk a little bit about Lloyd Smith, the executive director of the Missouri Republican Party. He's a guy that's been around for a long time, and he has a lot of people know who he is. And the committee members obviously know who Lloyd Smith is. What do you guys think? What do you think is the strengths and weaknesses of having Lloyd Smith as the selected candidate here?
Well, the big strength I see is the connection to the Emerson organization. He was with Bill Emerson from almost the very beginning. He has strong Farm Bureau ties, and in this part of the state, the Republican Party organization and the Missouri Farm Bureau organization have a very close working relationship, and so he would have those advantages. Disadvantages, perhaps. To the broader electorate, he is less known. But as you say, Jacob, he's well known to the party activists. Had you heard anything more on this, Aaron?
Not on Lloyd Smith in particular. I know there is some question about how much longer he's going to want to stay as executive director of the Republican Party, but that's looking uncertain right now. So, also, I think the Republicans would probably be going back to what we were saying a while ago about, you know, wanting to have somebody in there long term, you know, a new vibrant candidate, I think they're going to have to make that decision about whether or not they want to go with that, what I've heard is called an elder statesman, say a Wendell Bailey or a Lloyd Smith candidate, or, and that's going to give them time to prepare for the next cycle, or if they're going to want to go with that new person. So that's a choice, obviously, committee members are going to have to look at as they're going through this selection process.
It really sounds like a pretty good opportunity for the Republican Party to handpick that person that they think is the most capable of holding that down that seat. And perhaps that would be that young vibrant candidate that could hold it down for a while. Who are some of the younger candidates, less experienced candidates, not necessarily the Peter Kinders and the Lloyd Smiths, but who are some of the younger candidates that have expressed their interest?
Well, you know, I don't know how interested, you know, Jason Crow left the Senate and said he's not interested in seeking higher office. But when we were talking about this, as soon as it happened, he was one of the first names that popped into my head. You know, I think one of the questions that we had that we kind of ask in kind of a hypothetical way is this congressional district, does it belong to CAPE? You know, if that's the case, then I would think that Jason Crowell would be kind of a strong candidate there. He's somebody that everyone knows, and he has demonstrated ability to win elections around here.
And Peter Kinder as well.
And so, but then, you know, this is a sprawling district that encompasses Rollitt, goes all the way almost over to Branson. It's big, and it's got a lot of possibilities in it. And so we don't know. We don't know if this district is CAPES or not. And so, I mean, I think what we're going to find out, again, I don't know that this election is going to be the one that's the test to find out is this CAPES district or not. But at some point, I think that we will. But if it is, then Jason Crowell, I think, makes a strong case.
What's the role of geography here? If you have two, three, or four CAPE candidates who kind of split the vote here in this part of the state, but maybe only one guy that's interested out in the Western Ozarks or something like that, that can coalesce a lot of those Western committee members' supports around him. I mean, could geography really end up playing a big role here?
Well, it's going to be interesting because committee members I've talked to have said that CAPE has less votes than they had in the past. Right now they have about six. Jefferson County, we know, has about 16. And it's like we talked about earlier, there are certain candidates who have two votes because they qualified to represent two districts, their county and another legislative district. So it is possible that we may not be looking at someone from CAPE just because, not because their name recognition isn't there, but just because it's in proximity to these other counties, it's possible that, you know, they may have that more local support. So.
You know, and you're also looking at down in the Poplar Bluff area, we may have Eddie Justice, Todd Richardson, or a couple of names that have been mentioned down there, folks that might be interested in running. So even in that part of the district, their support could end up being divided a little bit. So some of the other candidates that have been mentioned include we mentioned Jason Crowell, but Wayne Wallingford. He would be another Cape Girardeau candidate. He has definitely expressed interest, and Clint Tracy, the presiding county commissioner. So there are quite a few here in Cape Girardeau that seem to be interested.
Have we heard anything about interest from Kevin Engler?
Yeah, Kevin Engler's in.
Yeah, he's one that Jefferson County situation could apply to, and that could help him.
He's well known up there. Has been term limit, was just recently term limited out of the state Senate, but just got elected to the state House. So he's still there. While I was thinking about other state senators, who knows if there's a possible Democrat from the Jefferson County. I think the state senator up there is Ryan McKenna. I haven't heard anybody mention his name.
That's not a name I've heard mentioned. The Democratic committee members that I've talked to have said they want to keep whoever is interested anonymous, at least until after the end of the year. I'm not really quite sure why, but I was told by the Democratic committee chairman from Cape County that, unlike the Republicans, they do not like to eat each other.
Wow.
I have not heard of any names yet on the Democratic side with any interest, Aaron.
Todd Mann, who's a businessman from Festus, Missouri, is one who said he's interested. He ran in the primary he didn't actually quite make it to the primary. He dropped out in the 8th district race. So he would have faced Jack Russian, who then went on to face Joanne Emerson. Not quite sure the reasons why he dropped out. He sent us a news release the other day through email saying he was interested. He's the only one that I know of right now besides Jack Russian, who I talked to on Monday, and he said, you know, he's going to be looking into it. Steve Hodges is not interested. He's our only House rep that's a Democrat from Southeast Missouri. Everywhere else has gone Republican.
I'm wondering about the former House rep down in the Boot Heel who just lost the state Senate race.
Terry Swinger.
Yes.
You know, I've been back and forth with his guy on the phone. It doesn't really seem likely because he raised so much money to try to beat Doug Leibla, and that didn't happen. Yeah. So I think he's a little tired.
How about Doug Leibla for the Republicans? Anything on that?
I haven't heard anything about Doug Leibla, but I think he's just trying to get settled in the state Senate.
You know, probably the most well-known Democrat that ran against Joanne Emerson in the recent past was Tommy Sauer. Is there anything that we've heard from Tommy Sauer from his folks yet?
I haven't heard anything. We know that he raised the most money of any of her opponents in recent years, and I think he got the fewest votes, didn't he, percentage-wise?
Well, yeah, he raised and spent and outspent Joanne, and still couldn't crack. What the previous candidate had done, that's the thing I always wonder about a candidate like that. You know, he was a strong candidate, he was dynamic, he raised a lot of money, but does the taint of having lost this seat once before, does that deter you from trying again?
He has kept in touch with Missourians. He was back with his boots on the ground working on behalf of Claire McCaskill a few weeks ago. But as I understand it, he's just recently started a new position within the Obama administration. I think
there's some questions about whether or not he could even qualify to run just because of the rules of getting out of that position, say, to run for candidacy. That's how I understand it right now.
Okay.
Well, we've been talking today with Jeremy Walling and Rick Althaus. They're political science professors at Southeast Missouri State University. And with Erin Reagan. She's a reporter for the Southeast Missouri newspaper. Thank you so much for coming by. It's been a pleasure talking with
Thanks
everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.